Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, VeritasMedical.com. Check out the website for past archived programs, VeritasMedical.com. And, of course, along the way, text line, phone lines always open and available. Good morning to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Wade. Good morning, Melody.
And good morning,
hello.
Melody.
Hey, hello.
You always do that.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello, this is Melody, health coach.
Yeah, I'm glad to see both of y'all back on the program. By the way, if you have any, today we're going to talk about the fourth pillar on the roadmap to good health. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Oh,
peace.
This is the peace one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's had too much CBD oil over there.
CBD can bring you some...
She's a little sleepy.
Some amount of peace, yep.
Yeah.
I didn't take much, and I'm like...
Ooh.
And he got up earlier, and I thought it was later, and so I get up, and I realize he got up early, and so I didn't get to...
She's been having some...
And then he lets the cat in the room.
She's been struggling with insomnia, right?
I'll go to sleep and wake up. Go to sleep and wake up.
Not me, man. I sleep like a rock, and I don't have...
Why is it that when you tell people you have trouble sleeping, the first thing they say is how good they sleep? Like, don't do that.
Just to annoy you, so when you're sitting there tonight, you'll think of that person. I bet he's sleeping
so
good
well.
Right now.
I'm so happy for that.
Way to be supportive, Wade.
Oh, well, yeah, sorry about that anyway. But so peace is the pillar today. We're going to, and you might say, okay, so what are the four? Do you know what the four pillars are? I know
nutrition,
two.
Nutrition, hydration, movement,
and
peace.
And so we're doing the peace part today. Peace out, baby.
Yeah, and I've got to start with, and next week we'll do a Q&A on all four. Had to throw that in. I was at a conference this weekend. It was put on by George Washington University, their integrative functional medicine department. Dr. Andrew Heyman. It was a fascinating conference. It was all about the mitochondria.
Ooh.
And it was the latest, greatest research. Some of the world's brightest minds in mitochondria research. It was really fascinating, really cool. It was cool to hear all these doctors and researchers basically confirm that the mitochondria is where it's at. That's where all these diseases, when you keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper, as functional and integrative doctors do, they try to find a root cause. So the common theme, and our listeners know it well because we've talked about it for so long, you know, whether you're talking cancer, heart attacks, Alzheimer's, autism, whatever, you name the disease, autoimmune diseases, which, you know, there's 70 to 100 different ones of those, it all comes down to the mitochondria. And inefficient mitochondria. Mitochondria are the carburetors that make your energy for your cell. And so this conference, what was funny to me was just a few years ago, the same program, the same doctors and researchers had learned a certain amount about the mitochondria, and their recommendation was take supplements that fuel the mitochondria. So we know the mitochondria need ribose and carnitine and CoQ10 and these different ingredients to produce energy. And that was the big thing 3 or 4 years ago, is give all your patients these 5 supplements that will fuel and boost the mitochondrial output. So all these functional medicine doctors jumped on board and did that. And now, lo and behold, 3 years later, these same guys, same doctors at this conference are saying, remember when we used to recommend that? Ah, ha, 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 we were so off. And it's not that they were so off, and those were the right nutrients, but that's not how you solve the problem. And what kind of the conclusion of this year's conference was that they don't have a magic bullet answer. There's not a magic bullet answer to get the mitochondria working right. It's a combination of things, and the wording that they used was the same wording I've been using. It's all about bolstering the resiliency factor of that mitochondria. So there's things that'll drag down the mitochondria and make it less efficient, where it doesn't make as much energy and it can't clear the exhaust. And there's multiple things that'll drag down the efficiency of that mitochondria. So I just got my oil changed before I came to the show this morning. I had a little extra time on my hands, and I got to thinking about fuel efficiency and even the oil. You know, can I extend the life of my oil? There's certain things you can do with your vehicle to make the fuel and oil life extend. And having a tune-up done on the carburetor is one of those things. Having a clean air filter is one of those things. Not over-revving that engine at every green light. You know, you don't want to floor it. You don't want to go too fast all the time. And translate that to your mitochondria. Too fast all the time is stress. When you're asking your cells to perform more and to give more output, basically, that's like putting your gas pedal to the floor. You can do that and you'll get that temporary acceleration, but if you do that all the time, you're going to get poor gas mileage. It's an inefficient way to drive consistently and day to day to day. And when you go into sympathetic overdrive, that's your fight or flight mode, that and doing that too often, it's the same thing. You're going to decrease the mileage. That carburetor is not going to be as efficient. Your mitochondria is going to be damaged by the constant fight or flight. And there's lots of other things that will damage the mitochondria. We've talked about a lot of these. Just toxins in general will do it. The wrong kinds of fats. That was a big part of the conference this weekend, was getting the right fats in and the right ratio of these fats in. Of course, the right minerals, not having excess unbound iron, we've talked about a lot. They didn't actually mention that at the conference, so they're still missing that piece. Wi-Fi, 5G, all these things will decrease your mitochondrial output and efficiency. So to build your mitochondrial resistance back up, you've got to do all these different things. And basically, it's those other three pillars. Nutrition, you got to have the right food, the right fats, the right minerals. And since our food's depleted, we supplement with minerals. You've got to move. They talked about that, you know, to oxygenate. We talked about that last week. You don't move and exercise to burn calories to lose weight. You move to oxygenate and to detoxify and to hydrate. And of course, you need clean water to help wash out your cells. But it was all about this resiliency building, but here's where I'm going with this. To a man and women, there were some lady presenters, and across the board they said, for those patients who are stuck, and that's the interesting thing, some patients will get better when all you do is tweak their diet a little bit. That's enough of a boost to their miles per gallon. For that individual, that's enough, and their symptoms go away. For other people, you got to change their diet not a little, but a lot. And you got to fast them, and they got to move. And that's just enough to get them over the hump and build their resiliency back up. For other people, you got to do five different things to build their resiliency and get them over the hump. But what they talked about at the conference was there's a subset of patients, every doctor there, including Andrew Heyman, the head of this whole program at George Washington. He's considered one of the brightest minds of integrative functional medicine. Even he has patients who are just stuck. And that was kind of the terminology they use. These patients that are just stuck, no matter what you do, what you throw at them, what protocols, how much you, they just can't get unstuck. Their mitochondria just won't. You just can't rebuild the resiliency in them. And so that was their big question: is why is that, and how do we do it? And that we're going to keep researching to try to figure that out. What supplement or what thing? But they all mentioned a common denominator, and I think the answer's sitting right in front of them. They just don't know what to do about it. They all mentioned that the stressed out patient won't get unstuck. Emotional traumas, childhood traumas, just this constant stress, and they'll stay stuck. So I believe the fight or flight mode and these thoughts that are never resolved completely, and you have this underlying unresolved conflict even from your youth, it keeps that mitochondria in this inefficient state. So we're going to dive more into that today because it is such a big player in the mitochondrial and your overall health. But I think we've got a text.
Yeah, just real quick, Greg wanted to know, hey, if I add a couple, or if I add apple cider vinegar and sea salt to water to help structure the water, would it help to stir or shake it to make the vortex?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
Any amount of shaking and stirring does help vortex. It puts energy into the water. You're transferring that kinetic energy basically into the water. And that's what a lot of these structuring devices do. It's just creating a vortex.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to do it. And there are some handheld devices you can even buy that you pour your water through it and vortexes it. But, yeah, that's good. And one thing that will destructure the water in your cell is fight or flight mode, stress, unresolved emotions, all that kind of stuff. And the reason I think these doctors and most doctors and most patients don't consider this or they don't really tackle this aggressively because they don't know how, they might not even believe it because it's a little more nebulous or it's a little more quantum or it's really outside the physical realm. And we don't know, I mean, we're Western minded people. We like physical things and we like protocols. Step one, two, three, I'll do it and I'll expect a certain outcome and I'll feel better. That's not how this works. So it was encouraging this weekend at the conference to know that number one, we're of course all talking about the same thing, the mitochondria. That's where all this is at. And that there are certain things you can do to bolster that. But ultimately, the thing that'll build your resiliency the most is being at peace. And I think when you're at peace and your body can function, the chemical reactions at the cellular level will function in a manner they were intended to and designed to. You can take more of a hit. Toxin-wise, you can take more of a Taco Bueno burrito every now and then. I mean, you can take more of a diet. You don't have to be perfect in all the other areas because I think the resiliency factor is built up the most by this fourth pillar. And so
that's pretty profound.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
Everybody's stressed out, pretty much.
Yep.
Even kids.
Yeah. And what doctors, these integrative in particular, are way better at is giving you some stress relief techniques. And they mentioned some. And one that they really honed in on that I think we all intuitively know, and Melody, you've already touched on this, is sleep. When the circadian rhythm is synchronized properly, you're able to handle stressors better.
Yeah.
So that's one way to build your resiliency factor up is have a circadian rhythm that's normal. And circadian rhythm's more than just sleep. It's so many biological functions in the body. People don't realize it. The repair and the detoxification and your brain too, kind of the detox and download of everything that happened during the daylight hours. It's during the nighttime hours that you repair from that and that you recover from that. And, you know, think of it as when people that are bodybuilders or not even just people go to the gym and they do lift a few weights, do some bench press, and you know you've got to have this recovery period to allow those muscles to grow. And if you worked real, real hard and bench pressed whatever, you know, 90% of your max, and you did that for three sets times 20 reps on each set, by the end, you can't even do that 90%. You could do maybe half of it. You've worn your muscles out. They've exhausted, and you can't lift what you could have lifted at the beginning of the session. But after two or three days, when you've had time to recover and repair and actually grow new muscle, you can lift even more. But it's that repair and recovery time that's so key. And when we push it, we ask our cells, our brain cells, our immune system cells, our hamstring cells, our heart muscle cells, our endocrine, that's adrenal, thyroid, ovaries, all these hormone-producing cells. When we ask them to do a lot all day long, especially if it's pedal to the metal, you're pushing that gas pedal to the floor in sympathetic dominance, fight or flight mode, too often, too long, you have to have the repair time, the rest and recovery and repair time. And that's what nighttime does. The issue, I think, today, especially these kids, like Melody mentioned, so many kids are stressed out. It's the number one complaint of less than 30-year-olds and under. Their number one, when they go to the doctor, complaining is anxiety, mm-hmm. depression, all these mood disorders. Their brain does not have time to recuperate and recover and repair itself and drop the oxidative stress and allow those cells to get back to baseline. And a big part of it is the lights. the light bulbs in our homes and offices, but more importantly, the lights coming off these iPads, iPhones, all these devices, your TVs, the way the light is transmitted now, and we stay up late, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Some of these kids, I think, sleep with their phones and that thing's going off all night long, and your eyelids aren't sufficient to block all that light. So when this light, this artificial man-made blue light in particular, which is what's coming off these screens, comes through the eyeball to the optic nerve, goes to these particular spots in the brain that control your circadian rhythm.
But then you have somebody like Wade who watches TV late at night and is playing on his phone, and then he goes to bed and just sleeps. And I like put my phone away 2 hours before, you know, dim all the lights, take a bath, do all this stuff, and I have trouble sleeping.
It can manifest, this oxidative stress and inflammation can manifest different in different people. I mean, Wade is having trouble getting to his ideal body weight. I think he'd admit it for many years.
Right.
And I have another guy. He just did carnivore for a month. He's done some intermittent fasting. His insulin level is still high. I mean, he did lose 15 pounds and his sugars came down some, but he's still insulin resistant, even though he went hardcore. I think for him, probably the circadian rhythm mismatch is manifesting as inability to lose weight. And women, for some reason, I think, again, this is my opinion, that the kind of the weak link or the place your women tend to get hit is more in the hormone pathways, thyroid and of course the sex hormones, but the brain hormones too. That's what I think. I'm not 100%.
Well, then I know, cause I've studied up on it, how important sleep is.
Yeah.
So then just knowing that, it stresses me out.
Right.
Cause I'm like, I've got to sleep.
Yeah.
Because my brain won't detox and these cells won't turn over. And, you know, I'm like,
But they went into pretty big depth during the conference on the circadian rhythm and the biochemistry behind it. And when those particular areas of the brain don't get the right amount of melatonin, melatonin is not only a sleep aid, it's an antioxidant. And the melatonin is shut off when we're exposed to the light.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about in a native culture, how it was before we had electricity, the sun goes down. That's pretty much it. I mean, you're winding down. You may have a candle or a lantern out for a little bit, but even that amount of light and the type of light coming off of a fire is obviously different than a screen and a light bulb and a TV. But it takes about 2 hours once it becomes dark for that melatonin to really ramp up and put you into that deep sleep cycle. And so if you're looking at a screen, you know, until 10, 11, 12 at night, you're not really hitting that deeper hormonally. You're not hitting that deeper sleep until 2 in the morning, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just got this mismatch in circadian, but they also talked about the food and the way your gut digests the food. When you're in a constantly fed state, meaning you eat breakfast and you eat many small meals throughout the day and you eat late at night, and you have this eating window that's 12 or 14 or 16 hours long, that's a mismatch circadian-wise. We really need to crunch our eating down into this more of a window of 6 to 8 hours. And when you do that, it helps to match up the circadian rhythm.
Getting morning sun helps too.
Having 2 hours, and there's an app. Let's see if I can find in my notes here. It's something about the measuring the number of lumens. My Lux Recorder, L-U-X. My Lux Recorder. I've not downloaded it, so hopefully I jotted it in my notes the right way. But basically, you need 10,000 lux or more in 30 to 60 minutes, or it'll take you 30 to 60 minutes a day to get 10,000 or more lux. And this app on your phone will measure that for you. If you're indoors under these lights, like we are in the studio here, all day long, you'll see on this Lux Recorder, you'll maybe hit 2,000 or 3,000. Your eyes need to see bright sunshine, all the spectrums, all the wavelengths of sunshine. You need to see that probably closer to 2 hours a day. According to this app, the guy said a lot of people can hit it in 60 minutes, depending on where on the, from how far from the equator you are,
so
and how bright the sun is.
So you can buy sunlight lamps.
Yeah, and I don't know. You'd have to experiment with this Lux recorder to see if it'd be the same. It's all about the spectrum and the intensity of that spectrum. But that sets the brain. When you know, Dr. Jack Cruz, he's a neurosurgeon in Louisiana, and he's pretty big or getting bigger. People are starting to really listen to him because he's all about the light. He says light is 90%+ of your physiology. It's all about the light. It's not about your carbs and fats and this and that. And he doesn't discount that we need to eat real food. But his point is the light impacts your carburetor so much, it doesn't matter if you're putting 86-octane gas in or 92-octane gas in. He said, forget about the fuel, the fat versus carb. You know, that's secondary to the actual inner workings and efficiency of the mitochondria itself. You need a very tuned-up carburetor, and the light is what will tune down the carburetor. It's what will gunk up the carburetor. It's what will make your mitochondria more dysfunctional than anything is the light. So he's huge about seeing the sunrise every day for 30 minutes. You go outside and look towards the east and let those rays go through that optic nerve.
When do you have glasses on?
Sunglasses off. I don't know about regular glasses.
Yeah.
I think those are fine. You don't want to block the rays. So sunglasses off. Don't stare at the sun, obviously. And he showed in this weekend in the presentation, not Jack Cruz, he won there, but the other doctor at the presentation this weekend showed on his app, even when he was in the shade, he stepped outside from his office like 2 feet, just outside the door, is still in the shade, and the Lux meter went way, way, way up. And, of course, if you're out of the shade, it's up even higher. But he's not looking at the sun. He's just saying you've got to be outdoors exposing yourself to that light. It's not the same.
No.
No, the windows block some of the rays. With your glasses, the rays are getting around your glasses, so I think that's why it's okay. So that was really big, getting bright light, getting outdoor light 1 to 2 hours a day, getting your eating window down to 8 hours, and getting the blue light off of your eyeballs at nighttime. Don't sit around within 2 hours of bedtime. You really need to have the blue light off. Whether that means you try to block it, there are some apps you can do to block blue light. There are glasses you can wear, like kind of like sunglasses that you wear that block the blue light, but really just trying to turn it off all the way. And again, this is all to get the circadian rhythm, try to sync your circadian rhythm back up. And people don't realize these cells really work on a 24-hour clock. They showed an experiment. They took a human cell out of the body and put it in a petri dish, and it still operated on this 24-hour cycle. There's certain things it did during the daylight 12 hours. There's certain things it did during the nighttime 12 hours, just different functions of the cell itself. I mean, it's just like the hotel I was staying at. You know, at nighttime, the crew comes in and lots of different functions happen in the hotel that are different than the daytime functions, you know, and vice versa. Another comment they made at the conference was, if you've got a patient who's stuck, who just won't get better, and they're working third shift, they're working that night shift, he said, advise them not to be your patient. Once they can get out of third shift, come back and be your patient, because they're going to waste their time and their money. It's that important to have that circadian rhythm sunk up the right way, because it builds the resiliency of the mitochondria. And the reason I'm mentioning this, I know we're going to talk about peace and true peace and where I believe that comes from, but there's lots of things you can do to try to build the resiliency factor in the realm of stress. Circadian rhythm's a big one. Of course,
what about infrared and the cryotherapy, as far as, because don't you want to have some good stress on your mitochondria?
Yes, the mitochondria, to stay efficient, you do need the good stress. It's kind of like that HIIT training, or even with working out. You don't want to do the exact same muscle building exercise every single day. You don't want to do a bench press every single day, because your body, same with aerobic exercise or anything else, your body gets used to that. And really same thing with eating more of a high-fat, low-carb diet like a ketogenic. If you do that every single day forever, your body's going to develop efficiencies where it will learn to lift that barbell or to run that aerobic, that treadmill for 45 minutes, or to eat burn that fat. It's going to do it more efficiently over time. And, I mean, in a sense, that's good. But you really don't want to be more efficient when you're trying to build muscle and exercise and do these different and eat fat. You want to mix it up, is my point. The body gets stuck in a rut, so to speak. So you do want to mix it up. And so building circadian rhythm back to normal, synchronizing it, is a good way to build resiliency from the fight or flight mode. All these other things like CBD, we mentioned at the top of the show, CBD modulates a lot of these hormonal neuroendocrine systems in the body that control sleep and control lots of other things like the immune system. So CBD can help. Of course, magnesium, we've talked about, it's the calming mineral. So that's a good one. There's supplements like GABA and L-theanine. And these can work on anxiety, the pathways that lead to anxiety. Most of the neurotransmitters like serotonin that control mood or impact your mood, that's what Prozac and Zoloft and all those are working on. Those are made in the gut by your gut flora. So that's why we got to eat real food, eat food that nourishes our gut bugs and not kill our gut bugs. So you don't want to eat a bunch of preservatives and antibiotics and all the stuff that's in conventional food. Packaged food has a bunch of chemical in it and antibiotics in it. You want to steer clear of that because it kills your flora, and the flora make your calming neurotransmitters. So there's a number of things, and I'm not going to spend the whole show talking about all the different supplements and things you can do to decrease anxiety. Those just naturally should come as you follow the other three pillars. And those are all great, and those are all fine. And then there's, of course, all the techniques you can even use beyond food and exercise. Exercise increases the kind of the endorphins. I think people have heard this before, and go exercise and improve your mood. Mm-hmm. Because there's certain chemical pathways that get turned on, these endorphin pathways, and make you feel better. So all that is good and beneficial, and you should do all of that. Why? Because you're building your resiliency factor. It manifests as, hey, I feel better, and I sleep better, and my blood pressure's down, I'm losing some weight. I mean, doing all the three pillars, you're going to get tons of benefit, including a little more peace and a little less anxiety and all these things that people would relate to, less fight or flight. So that's great. You should do them all, and that will be of great benefit to that fourth pillar. But I think we're moving into a day and age, we're not moving in, I think we've already landed there, where you can only get so far. You're only going to get a certain level of wellness, most people, with the three pillars. And when you talk to some of these really old school docs in a more holistic, natural realm, like Dr. Wright, if he were still around, I bet he would testify to this. And some of my mentors that are in their 70s and 80s, they talk about how, well, back in the good old days, you could just do X, Y, or Z with the patient, they'd get better. I mean, I've been to some of these integrative conferences where some of these old integrative cancer doctors from Mexico and Europe and Germany and stuff, they talk about that. Yeah, back in the 70s, I could give patients X, Y, or Z only, and they'd get better. And now X, Y, or Z just uncut it. And I think it's this accumulation over the decades of diminishing nutrition, excessive toxicities, excessive stressors, emotional, just our world today. Our country has gotten way off track in a lot of ways. So I think there's just more on us today than ever before. And the iPhone, iPad, the blue light, the Wi-Fi, and the 5G is just the icing on the cake. It's pushing people over the edge. And I think it's only going to get worse. So to ignore the true, deeper levels of this fourth pillar, the peace pillar, it's going to be harder and harder to do. It's going to be harder and harder to get well with just getting the other three pillars right. Or just doing more superficial stuff on the fourth pillar, like CBD and meditation and, the different things. It could benefit you, but I think we got to get deeper. So probably time for a break. We can talk more about the deeper on the peace pillar when we get back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. And, of course, check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Again, you can do that. Check out past archived programs. We'll go to the text line, and a question was, when to start mixing it up with diet, keto, and or carnivore since late June? Maybe it depends on how sick we begin the process.
Yes. It's
okay.
It's patient or individual. Everyone's unique and individualized.
Yeah, we were just talking about me during the break.
Yeah.
So I did 8 weeks of 72-hour fast, 72 hours every week. I lost a total of 15 pounds,
yeah,
which is good. But I looked at that, and I didn't exercise during the time. And I thought, man, you throw a little exercise on top of it, at least for me. Everybody's different.
Yep.
And then I feel dramatically better, and weight loss is – I'm not doing 72-hour fast. I'm doing 24s.
Right.
I can't do a 72-hour fast and work out.
Well, good. I'm glad you're watching it, you're observing, you're taking notes, and then you're mixing it up because everyone's unique and individual.
Yeah,
and
people taking notes on a calendar.
People kind of want a one-size-fits-all answer, and there's not. I mean, for some, I'll have some patients, I'll specifically tell them, I don't want you exercising at all because I want you to see what's going to happen just by getting your carbs down, and they'll lose 30 pounds in a month without any exercise. And there's others, their physiology, no, they've got to have that movement. I mean, yeah, I think there's this basic foundational that everyone needs to get up and move from a seated position, you know, once or twice an hour. Everyone needs to eat real food. There's these real basic concepts. But then when someone's really depleted, their carburetor's really gunked up,
yeah,
they spent 20, 30, 40 years not stewarding their health, they're really inflamed, depending on what disease, just all the different factors. This texter says, how long till you mix it up? A general rule of thumb is until you're not inflamed is a general rule of thumb. Or you're way less inflamed. Well, how do you know that? Well, there's inflammatory markers in your blood work you could look at, or your symptoms. You know, and your practitioner could help you delineate that out. If your symptom was high blood pressure and you're now normal, or your symptom was migraines and now you're not having them, or your symptom was joint pain and that's 90% resolved, I'd say, yeah, it's time to, you can mix it up and experiment a little bit and see. Add some carbs in, but they need to be clean carb, low glycemic carb. Some doctors actually define this as carb cycling, again, because Western-minded people need this program and recipe and
yeah,
5 days on, 2 days off, and that's okay. But eventually, we need to get more intuitive. We need to listen to our body, you know, what makes me feel good, what doesn't. So I can't specifically say to that texter, it depends on a lot of factors. But in general, I'd say if you're feeling a lot better and you mostly met your health goals, mix it up. Or if you've been doing carnivore or keto, kind of high fat, low carb for 2 months and you haven't noticed a thing, you probably need to mix it up also. I mean, if you're doing something and it's just not working, you got to look at something else. And the temptation is to only look at food, because that's kind of our culture. We think diet's going to fix everything. Diet's, of course, important. But if you're eating pretty much super low inflammatory, which keto and carnivore are, you might want to look at your circadian. You might want to look at your movement, your lack of peace, your hydration, your mineral status. I mean, you got to look at all of it. It's all got to come into play. So it's a little more complicated.
In reference to like circadian rhythm.
Yeah, caffeine, I would say get it in that window. So if our intake needs to be in an 8-hour window, basically 6-hour window, get it in the window. So getting up at 6 a.m. and having a shot of caffeine and then, you know, eating your last meal at 8:00 at night, that's too big of a window. So either push that caffeine up some, or push your meal back some, your last meal of the day back some, but get your entire window crunched in, I think, for most people. But again, you got to judge it for yourself. I mean,
I just went off coffee, and I haven't had any in several months, and I feel good.
For some people, we have to go that extreme, totally off coffee. Other people, they can do off coffee for a while and then go back to a more quality coffee that doesn't give you the adrenal hit, the jitteriness, the blood pressure effect, the caffeine effect, the acidity, which Purity Coffee is one of those. We interviewed Andrew Salisbury about that, and it typically won't give you those kind of effects. So, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all for everybody.
But the best thing to do, again, is to mark down weekly what you're doing and see if it's having any effect. It's like
right,
taking a new supplement.
Right.
We always say on this show that if you're taking a new supplement of some kind And after 30 days, you've taken the supplement, whatever it is, and you don't feel any difference, then it's probably not doing anything for you, or that's not the problem.
Possibly, yeah, and depend on the supplement. Now, if you're doing a supplement for a symptom, like you mentioned, nitric oxide for blood pressure and beet powder, and Neo 40 is one of these supplements that combines beet powder and some other powders, arugula and kale,
right?
Because those will stimulate nitric oxide production. Nitric oxide is a natural vasodilator. It dilates your blood vessels, and that'll drop your blood pressure. Dr. Nathan Bryan developed that. He wrote a book about it. He lectures about it. And it's great. The drug companies hired him to come turn it into a drug. He couldn't figure out any synthetic chemical that would do the same thing. So he quit the drug company job and went back to making a supplement called Neo 40. So theoretically, it should work, and it does work for a lot of people. But if you were taking it for a month and your blood pressure didn't drop, it's not that nitric oxide doesn't work and that beets don't induce nitric oxide. It's that for you and your particular issue causing your high blood pressure, it's not just that. If it were just that, then obviously your blood pressure would have got better. So there's other factors involved, and there's not a single symptom in the body that is just from one thing. Well, I shouldn't say something. You know, if you get a splinter in your finger and it creates a pus pocket, well, yeah.
Yeah,
I
mean, right.
That pus pocket is from that splinter. So a physical trauma, injury, something like that. But in general, these metabolic things like blood pressure and diabetes and all these inflammatory chronic diseases, it's multifactorial. So, yeah, if you're going to try a supplement for a symptom like high blood pressure, assess it and then change course. And we tend to not do that much with supplements for symptoms because we feel like if you hit the basics across the board, get your minerals, get the four pillars, it's going to take care of all. You're going to naturally make nitric oxide. And you're going to naturally do all the other things that will bring blood pressure down because all these things are multifactorial.
Okay, so the text line says, for example, for the first go, how long should I stay on the carnivore diet?
Again, if you're a diabetic and your A1C is 10, which is average blood sugar like 300 over the last 90 days, I'm going to tell you to stay on it and also to fast quite a bit until you're non-diabetic. That could take 6 months, depending on how stressed out you are. It could take 3 months if you decide to fast way more aggressively. That's just one example, you know, if you're diabetic. So it really depends on, that's like asking me, how many scoops of dirt would it take to fill this hole? It depends on how wide the hole is and how deep the hole is. You know, I could have a 22-year-old come in with, you know, bad ulcerative colitis, but he's only had that disease or those symptoms that we call a disease for 6 months. Well, he might turn around in a month. But I could have another gentleman with ulcerative colitis. He's already had 2 surgeries to take out part of his colon. He's had it for 30 years. He's been on prednisone for 2 decades. Totally different picture. And it's going to take him a whole lot longer to deal with the root cause of ulcerative colitis. So, you know, it's so different for everybody. You know, I could have someone who has a deep understanding of who they are, why they were created, why they were put on the earth, a deep sense of purpose and community, and they're fulfilling that thing that God made them to be. And the only thing off in them, I mean, their peace pillar is sound. They are stout. They've been challenged by multiple life stressors, and they have matured to the point they understand that these things are out of their control. God's in control. They're submitted to God's sovereignty. They are just rock solid there, spiritually mature. They could turn around in 2 weeks on their physical symptom of whatever, rheumatoid arthritis, ulcerative colitis, diabetes, with carnivore. But if someone is completely clueless as far as knowing who they are, they've never understood who they are, they have an identity crisis, they don't have no self-worth, no self-value, you know, their mom and dad didn't love them, no, everyone put them down, they could never feel accomplished or worthwhile or worthy of anyone's love, they have rejection all over them, they've been fired from a couple jobs, and it just snowballs on them, and they have this perception about themselves that's so self-destructive and negative. And this is purely in their mind and in their thoughts. That person could eat perfect carnivore, keto, whatever, fast for a year and not get better or get a little better because the thoughts drive so much of the physiology. And that's what the guys at the conference this weekend were talking about. What's going to gunk up your carburetor the most, more than 5G, more than cottonseed oil more than whatever, it's this lack of true peace. And so that's why it's so hard to answer a question like that. And it's so hard to get across to every single patient that walks in our door, because we are trained in the Western mindset. Number one, we're trained the doctor has all the answers and he's going to fix me. And then we're trained, even if we kind of understand, hey, my diet and lifestyle does matter, but, you know, doc, you tell me what diet to do and I'll do it in 30 days. I better be better. It's not like that. It's not a formula. And that's why it's a mindset we've got to get out of. And that, I mean, really trying to dive back more into that peace thing, it does boil down to a spiritual issue, because it's beyond the natural. When you're talking about thoughts and consciousness, that is not, those aren't atoms. Those aren't hydrogen, carbon, you know, atoms. This is outside of something you can see, touch, feel, taste with your senses. The naturalists, people who believe in naturalism, materialism, naturalism, that's what they believe. That's all that exists and makes up this world, is things in the natural. You can touch, taste, feel, you know, these atoms. And this is the smallest thing we can measure, subatomic particle. That's all there is. Natural stuff. And so with that mindset, there is no objective morality. They're shooting a kid with a gun and killing him is not wrong in that world. It can't be wrong. If we're just a chemical accident, Dr. Jason Lyle likes to say, so I'll quote him, if we're just this random chemical accident, there's no right or wrong, there's no morality, there's no laws of philosophy. I mean, a contradiction can't exist. Have you ever seen a contradiction? No, you can't see these things. These are things that God put into us. Something outside the natural, a supernatural thing, put this into us. It's so you've got to wrestle with that. Are you a naturalist or are you a supernaturalist? Do you understand there's things outside of the natural? And then once you get to that conclusion, like 95% of quantum physicists, according to Dr. Caroline Leaf that we interviewed a few weeks back, which I highly recommend everybody listen to her interview if you missed it for the Peace Pillar talk. But 95% of quantum physicists understand this. Quantum physics doesn't exist inside just the natural. It's got to be supernatural. But then you got to decide, okay, that whatever this is outside the natural, this force outside of space and time, because space and time are part of the natural, something outside of space and time, is this a personal being or is it an impersonal being? And so then that's when you get into morality and consciousness, and it's got to be a personal being if you really dive deep. So now your next layer of question is, okay, is this personal being in any way communicated to us, somehow connected to us? And the quantum physicists who really play this out the furthest, basically what they describe, if you didn't know the Bible, that's what they're describing as the God of the Bible, that there's this supernatural being who is personal outside of space and time, but still has a connection through consciousness to these beings inside space and time. That would be us. There's this connection. There's this pathway, which of course the Christian worldview explains that perfectly with the Holy Spirit. My point being, you've got to wrestle with these things, because otherwise you're going to be stuck in, we're just a chemical accident. There's no right or wrong. There's no basis of the laws of philosophy and morality and consciousness. There's no order in nature. Everything's random. I mean, the whole field of science stands on biblical principles. Without the truth, there's no truth. I mean, if things are random and things came out of nowhere, you couldn't measure the distance to the moon or the speed of light or all these things, because there is no law of gravity. There is nothing that's predictable or replicatable. And this is getting a little deeper and into some philosophical stuff, but my point is, you got to wrestle with these things to know who you are. And are you here for a purpose? And if you are you doing that purpose? Because if you're not, you're going to be spinning your wheels. So this gets to be a much more personal and spiritual journey. And my personal belief in it is, you're going to be in fight or flight mode. You're going to be stressed out if you don't submit to the one that created you. If you don't trust He's got it figured out. You don't have it figured out. And when these events happen in your life that don't make sense to your finite human brain, I had to have this discussion with my kids this weekend. One of my kiddos was fearful about something. And so where do we go? The book of truth says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. So we got to explain that to her. Well, that's a thought you're having, but it's not lined up with the truth. Because the truth says there is no fear. It's not coming from God. So if it's not coming from God, it's coming from the opposite of God, the enemy to God, the liar, the great deceiver, the father of all lies. So we got to talk about that. That fear is not based in the truth. So let's talk about that. Let's see how and why and what was your blind spot that allowed that thought to come in. And let's address that with the truth. But see, that whole way of thinking is founded in that I believe in God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible is true. And I'm hoping to get some. I already have interviewed one, J. Warner Wallace. He's atheist. He was a cop, a homicide detective, cold case homicide detective. In his book, Cold Case Christianity, it's awesome. And then Lee Strobel was an atheist journalist, Chicago Sun or Tribune, one of those newspapers. And both these guys were basically going to prove to their wife that their Christian beliefs were crazy. Mm-hmm. And they both applied their journalistic skills and their cold case detective skills and came to the same conclusion that, wow, the Bible's super miraculous and supernatural, and there's no way a human being could have put this thing together.
I think I've read that on those guys. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I've interviewed Jay Warner. We'll play it soon. And Lee Strobel, he doesn't have time until the new year, but I'll get him on here. But these are the deeper things that people have. Because if you're not going to wrestle with it, then you're automatically, I mean, you're going to believe in something. Either you're going to believe that word's true, or you're going to not believe it. Well, if you don't believe it, then you believe you're a chemical accident. I mean, we had to come from something, and the alternative is we came from nothing. And we could have a lot of fun with that, and these guys do, Strobel and Warner and some others, Jason and Lyle. But that's where all this is going to boil down to. If God made this thing called the earth, and he made all that's in it, and he made you, and he made us, and there's a supernatural book that it kind of explains it all, that's where we have to look for the real true answer, and that's where the true peace is going to come. So that's where all this is going to come down to, wrestling through that for each individual person. Most people, including myself, until we reach a certain level in our life, we don't want to be told what to do. We want to be our own boss, our own God. We want to think and do things our own self. We want to be sovereign. I mean, that's what America's founded on, this democracy, and, you know, the people rule, not a sovereign monarch or a king. I mean, we don't understand sovereignty very well. Nobody wants to give up their sovereignty. Nobody wants to give up their, very easily give up their ability to just do what they want to do. And that's really at the heart of it, at the heart of most of these scientists who don't want to submit to the evidence and the facts. We talk about evidence-based medicine all the time. Doctors aren't supposed to do anything if it's not published data coming out of these scientific journals. And the irony is the evidence-based approach, when applied to Scripture, it's quite clear. And it would take more faith. In fact, there's a book called It Takes More Faith to Be an Atheist. I forget the name of that author. I'll look that up maybe for the future show. You're believing in something, and I would submit to you that it takes more faith to believe in not the truth, not God's word, than the truth. And I think we're in the age and time where people are going to really have to be presented with this, and those that get it, believe it, and can submit to that, they'll be at more peace. And those that can't, like if my child who is going to give into that fear, if she isn't, or he, I'm not going to give it away, if she or he can't wrestle with that internally themselves and really bring their heart and mind in line with the truth, then fear could overcome them. They could become an anxious person, even a hypochondriac, fear of sickness and disease. It could turn their life down a path. They'll still be able to function and in their own power and in their own strength do some things to try to help squelch that fear and anxiety, but ultimately it's going to keep them from being who God made them to be. So we need to address these different thoughts that will get us off course from our destiny. And that's what Caroline Leaf talks about. And Bruce Lipton, I think he's a believer now. He wasn't originally, and I interviewed him 2 or 3 years ago, Biology of Belief, his book. And he talks about all this, how circumstances happen to everybody. Everyone's going to have a premature death in their family. Everyone's going to have ugly foreclosure or a divorce, or their kid does something they don't approve of, or whatever traumas and traumatic life events. Some are greater than others. You know, I had a patient last week whose husband was taken from her prematurely, and she was able to forgive the person involved in that. And she said that unloaded like a weight off of her shoulder. She called the guy up. And that's the kind of thing. These circumstances happen in our life, and if we try to walk through them in our own strength with our own thoughts and our own filter, we're pretty likely to get off. And the guys this weekend at the conference were talking about childhood traumas. These things do stick with us. If your dad told you you were never going to amount to anything, and then your junior high basketball coach reinforced that by dogging you, and then the band teacher in high school only never let you get to first chair. You're always second or third chair because you just weren't good enough, and you made B's instead of A's like your big brother. I mean, these things can get reinforced. I'm no good, I'm no good, I'm no good. Well, all that happened before you're 18 years old, and now you're 38 years old or 48 years old. Well, that thought about yourself is still in you. And some people want to say, well, that's kind of, I don't want to talk about my youth or my child. Well, fine, you don't have to talk about it. But your perception of reality, the goggles and filters and the glasses that you have on, they are impacted by all these life circumstances. So there is some life circumstance in my kid's life that happened that allowed that spirit of fear to come in easily on her. So we'll have to go back, figure that out, and bring the truth to it. And she'll have to repent. I mean, she's ultimately going to have to ask for forgiveness for not submitting to the truth. She's not lined up with Scripture. She's not lined up with God's thought, and she'll repent for that and get lined back up, and that fear will leave her. Of course, it'll come back at some point, but she'll know what to do. She'll know the steps to walk through to get lined back up with the truth. And so that's what we all have to do, is go back and look at these life events where a lie came in and line it back up with the truth, and then peace will attend you. Because it says in Scripture, the kingdom of God's not about food or drink. That's the irony of this whole thing. We talk about food all the time. And the kingdom's not about food or drink, but about righteousness, peace, and joy. And how I read that Scripture, righteousness being right standing, alignment, right in line with the truth, with God's way of thinking. So when that bad letter comes from the IRS, I'm immediately going to try to line up with, okay, how's God seeing this? How's he going to use this for good? Why did he allow this? There's something good in it. Even in my flesh, my mind's not going to go there first. That's why I got to submit my flesh to the truth. And so we have to do this all the time, and true peace will come, in my opinion. So, or go take some CBD oil and get some temporary relief. And I'm not against all the other temporary relief things. I'm going to go get some sunshine today, and I'm going to try to get my circadian rhythm in sync, and I'm going to do the other things for my gut flora to get my neurotransmitters going and get my magnesium in to help it's my calming mineral. I want to do all the physical things too. I'm not going to ignore those, but you sure can't ignore the most resiliency building pillar of them all, which is the peace pillar.
And you've been listening to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right here on You're the Cure, right here on AM 580. I'll get an amen, brother, on that. That's very good stuff. Mm-hmm. I've never thought of it in that perspective, but it's so true. Lots of things to hang on with that morsel right there, for sure. Check out the website, though, veritasmedical.com. Check out past archived programs, veritasmedical.com. Dr. Edwards, thank you so much, sir. You have a wonderful rest of the week.
Thank
you.
We'll
see you back here next time around. Have a great one, and we'll see you.